B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Kuf Beis. We're going to start from the Mishnah, three lines from the top of the Amud. And the concepts that we're going to learn about in this Mishnah, we actually saw already in the Gemara in the previous Daf. Says the Mishnah, Nagar, which is a bolt, a type of a bolt that was used, a peg that was used to put into the ground to hold a door open, to hold a door closed. And there's always the issue that when you're putting something into the ground, does it look like you're building? Are you building? Are you transgressing the biblical Isser of Boine? Or is it just Merzek Boine, looks like you're building? Or does it not like you're building? Does it not look like you're building at all? And then you can do it on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, if you have this Nagar, which is a bolt, Hanigrar, which means it was tied to the door, but it wasn't totally suspended from the door. It was dragging along, it was dragging on the floor. Noyalin boy b'mikdosh. Since it's tied to the door, it's clear enough that it's actually not something you're using to build with. It's just something that you are putting into the ground to hold the door closed. And therefore, there's no biblical Isser of Boine, but midrabbanon it looks like Boine. And we know that in the Beis HaMikdosh, most of the Isurim Drabonon did not apply in the Beis HaMikdosh. And therefore, Noelin Boi B'Mikdosh, in the Beis HaMikdosh, they were allowed to use this type of bolt on Shabbos. Avaloi B'Medina, but outside the Beis HaMikdosh, they were not allowed to use this bolt. V'Hamunach, and if it's a bolt which is not even tied to the door, it's just sitting there, it's just totally loose, and it's not. And when you use it, you put it in its position, and when you don't use it, you just put it away. It's not attached in any way. And can v'kan osur, then according to the Tanakhama, using such a type of a bolt, which is completely not tied to the door, is considered as boine, and therefore it's a biblical isser of boine, and therefore even in the Beis HaMikdosh, you are not allowed to use it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda argues, and he says, Hamunach, that even such a bolt, that it's not tied at all, it's only osur midrabanon, it's not real building, it's only merzeka boine, and therefore it's mutar b'mikdosh, in the Beis HaMikdosh you were allowed to use such a bolt, v'hanigror, but if it was tied to the door, and it was just dragging along the floor, then b'medina you're allowed to use such a bolt, even outside the Beis HaMikdosh. Says the Gemara, tonu rabanon. We start with a brisa. Ezeu nagar hanigrar shenealin b'mikdosh avaloi b'medina. What type of situation, what type of a bolt which is dragging on the floor? If it's totally suspended in the air, then everybody says that you can use it. That's what we saw in the previous Gemara, in the previous Daf. But here it's dragging along the floor. It's a nagar hanigrar. What type of bolt which is dragging along the floor, which means it's tied but not suspended in the air, which type of peg you're only allowed to use in the Beis HaMikdosh avaloi b'medina, but not outside the Beis HaMikdosh? Answers the Braisa, kol shekosher, anything which is, number one, tied, number two, v'tolui, it's hanging, v'roishe echod magia la'oretz, it's not totally suspended off the ground. One of the ends, that means what the lower part of this bolt hanging down, is actually dragging on the floor. That's according to the Tanakhama, that is a type of a bolt that you're not allowed to use outside the Beis HaMikdosh. In the Beis HaMikdosh, you can use it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says that Zeh, since it's tied to the wall, tied to the door, Af b'medina mutar, as we saw in the Mishnah, you can even use that outside the Beis HaMikdosh. Elo eizu nagar shenoyalim b'mikdash avaloi b'medina. You want to know what type of bolt you're only allowed to use in the Beis HaMikdosh, not outside. Kol she'enoi loy kosher v'loy tolui. A type of a bolt which is not even hanging, it's not attached to the door at all. And v'shoim toy, and when you remove it from its position in the ground to hold the door, umaniach b'keren zovis, you just put it in some corner, someplace, it's totally not attached. Even in that case, it's not the biblical Isser of Boine, and therefore, in the Beis HaMikdosh, it was allowed to be used, but outside the Beis HaMikdosh, it was not allowed to be used. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Yudom HaShmuel, halocha k'Rabbi Yehuda b'nigrar. Rabbi Yehuda said two halochas. He said that if it's hanging, and it's just that the lower part of the bolt is dragging on the floor, then you're allowed to use that even b'medina. He said another halacha, that if it's totally detached, you're allowed to use it in the Beis HaMikdosh. So Shmuel says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, but only regarding the nigrar part. If it's hanging, then it's mut, even though it's dragging on the floor, it's mutter even outside the Beis HaMikdosh. Omar Rava v'husha kosher b'deles, Rava says it's not good enough that it's tied to the wall or tied to the frame of the door. It's got to be actually tied to the door, and then it's clear that it's not being used as boina, and then you can use it even in the outside the Beis HaMikdosh. Asks the Gemara, Eini, is it really true what Rava said, that it's got to be tied, this bolt, in order to be able to use it outside the Beis HaMikdosh? In any case, it has to be tied to the door itself. It's not good enough that it's tied to the door frame. V'ha Rebbe Tavlo ikla l'mechuzo. Rebbe Tavlo chanced by, he was visiting the place of mechuzo. V'chozo la'ahu, and he saw this person, Dehava Toli, that he suspended this bolt. Be'ibro d'dasha, on the bolt, on the beam, on a bar of the door. And nobody said anything. Nobody said there was an issue with that, and he used it on Shabbos. So you see that it didn't have to be tied onto the door itself. Answers the Gemara, who nitil b'igdoi hava. Over there, it was attached with such a strong thread, with such a strong cord, that you could even drag and hold the bolt using the string. It wasn't just like strung to the door frame. It was actually such a strong cord, you could lift up this bolt with the thread, with the cord, and it would not snap, and therefore it was sufficient that it was tied to the door frame and not to the door itself. Continues the Gemara. Reb Avyo iklo l'Nardor. Reb Avyo was visiting the place of Nardor. Chazyo la'u gavra, he saw this person, Dehava kokotir begemi. He fastened the bolt on a reed, on something which is very insignificant, very weak. Omer, Reb Avyo said, Dein loy nitroik. With this bolt, you're not allowed to bolt a door closed on Shabbos. We totally disregard the fact that it's tied on this reed because it's totally an insignificant substance to hold anything with. Continues the Gemara, Boya Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira asked the following question. Nikmaz Mahu. Till now we're learning about somebody who takes this bolt and he knocks it into the threshold, which is just beyond the door, into the doorstep, wherever it's going to be, but it doesn't actually penetrate right down into the ground. What happens, nikmaz, if it's pressed so far that it actually goes right through the step into the ground itself? Mahu, even then you're allowed to use such a bolt if it's tied, you're allowed to use such a bolt on Shabbos? Omer of Yosef, mighty boyle. What's his question? Lo shemir leho detanyu, did you not hear what it said in the following brisa? That nishmat, Osur, that if this bolt was hanging on a string, on a cord, and then the cord got detached, or the bolt got detached from the cord, Osur, you're no longer allowed to use this bolt on Shabbos. Nikmaz, however, if the issue is that the bolt is going right down into the ground, mutter, you're allowed to use it. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Nikmaz, afal pisha einoi nishmat, that if it's going right down into the ground, even if it's tied still to the, even if it's still tied to the door, also you're not allowed to use it. So you see, it's a machlekes Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Va'omer Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel halachah Rabbi Yehuda b'nikmaz, and Shmuel maintained that the halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda, that if it's nikmaz, if it's going straight down into the ground, you're not allowed to use this bolt at all. So what was Rabbi Zeira asking? Nikmaz mahu? We see it's a machlekes in the brisa. The Tanakama say Nikmaz Mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says Nikmaz is Osir. V'tamemai. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that Nikmaz is Osir? Oma Abayim, Mishum Demerze Kabayna. Because it looks like you're building. And it's Osir. And Aloch is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not allowed to use such a bolt if it's Nikmaz, if it's pressed right into the ground. Continues the Gemara, Boy Menerev Nachmuni Bar Zacharia Me'abaya. Osir Loi Beis Yad Mahu. We said before that if this bolt is not attached to the door, you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. Why? It looks like you're building. What happens if also loy beis yad, if you made a handle on this bolt, and making a handle on this bolt, it's very clearly making it clear that I'm not trying to build with it, I'm just using it to hold the door closed, but I'm not actually trying to build anything with it. Mahu, what's the halacha? Omer lei. So Abaya answered back to Rav Nachumi Bar Zacharia, Buchna Ka'omras. This is similar to a pestle, to something that you grind with. which is even in a case where it's not tied to the door in any way, and itmar omar of Nachumi bar Ada, also le beis yad mutar. Since it's a vessel, it's something, it doesn't have to be tied to the door, and nonetheless it's mutar. So you're asking what's going to be with this bolt that you've put a handle onto it. It's got the same status as the buchna, as the pestle, and one's allowed to use it on Shabbos even if it's not tied. Continues the Gemara. Hahu sharisa. There was this beam. To have a beir of pados in the home of Rav Pados. To have a modlu le be'asara. It was so heavy it could only be lifted with 10 people lifting it. Vashadu lo adasha. They pushed it, they shoved it against the door in order to hold the door closed. And nobody stopped them. Why do we not say, it looks like you're building? You're taking such a very heavy beam, you're positioning it against the wall. Since you can sit on this beam, then this beam has a type of, or has a status of a utensil, of a kli, and therefore it's not considered boine. Continues the Gemara. Hahu asita. There was this mortar, this grinding bowl, the Hava Bay Mar Shmuel. It was in the home of Mar Shmuel, and it was very, very big. The Hava Marzekes, it could hold Adriba, which is a lesech, it's half a kur, it's 15 saw, it's a very, very big container. Shoro Mar Shmuel, or Mar Shmuel allowed Lemishdayo Adasha to push it in front of a door to keep the door closed. And we were not afraid that it looks like you're building. Omar, and he explained, Toiras Kliolel, even though it's very, very large, it has the status of a utensil, it doesn't look like building, it's not building. Continues the Gemara. Sholach le Rami bar Yecheskel Rav Amram. Rami bar Yecheskel sent the following to Rav Amram. Neimelon mar, master, tell us, mehalin mili ma'aliasa, from those fine sayings, de omrus long mishmeder of Asi, that you told us in the name of Rav Asi, Bekipi de Arbo, regarding the arches of the boats. They would have this boat, and they would make these arches that are going round, rounded, covering over, so to speak, the area inside the boat. And what they would do is, they would put these arches, and at some point, they would spread over it some piece of material to give them some shade. And that's what these arches were. So Sholachle, Rav Asi answered back to, that means Rav Amram answered back to Rami Bar Yecheskel the following halacha in the name of Rav Asi. Hocha Omer Rav Asi. Hane kipi de arva. These arches on the boats, bizman sheyesh ben tefach, if each arch is one tefach wide at least, inami, or if it's not a tefach, in ben tefach, ve'en ben zeleze shleisha, but between one arch and the next, there's no three tefachim, which means we use the concept of lavud, that, so to speak, there's an extension of each of these arches, and it looks as if it's a solid covering of more than a tefach. Then, if you have that, if these arches are either a tefach wide, any one of them, or there's the arches are less than three tefachim apart, then the mochor, then tomorrow, which means on Shabbos, maybe machzeles, you can take a mat upeiros or leyan, and you can drape the mat over these arches. And the question is, draping a mat is called making an oihel. You're making a covering. You're not allowed to make an oihel. It's similar to building. My tama, moisif al oihel arayhu. Since these arches are serving, and they're just a temporary type of a oihel, a covering, and since the minimum measure of something to be given the status of oihel is a tefach, so if the arches themselves are a tefach wide, or together with lavud they make a tefach, then it's as if before Shabbos there was already an oihel there. And all you're doing on Shabbos is extending the oihel by draping the mat on top of it. That's called moisif. If you're adding, you're extending a temporary covering, and that you're allowed to do, v'shapir domi, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Hani dachri. There were these rams. De havalei le Rav Huna. They belong to Rav Huna. De biyamama boya tula. In the day, it was very hot. They needed shade. Ubalaylo, and at night, boya avira. They needed some fresh air. And they did not want to be enclosed and covered. Also le kamei de Rav. They came to Rav. Omar le, and Rav told them as follows. Zil, it's Erev Shabbos. Zil go, kroich budya. When you roll up the mat on that late Friday afternoon, in order that they should have the air on Friday night, then v'shayir bo tefach, make sure there's at least one tefach of covering that's still in that in the in the horizontal position, acting as an oihel, as a covering, minimum measure of covering, and lamachar, and that way the next day on Shabbos morning, when you're going to want to cover over this area to give them the shade, poshta, you can unroll umoisif al oil arai, and it's considered that you're just extending an existing temporary covering, umoisif al oil arai hu v'shaper domi, and that's allowed on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, omarav mishum Rabbi Chia. Viloin, a curtain, mutal in toiso, you're allowed to hang it on Shabbos, umutal a furka, and you're allowed to take it down by Shabbos on Shabbos. Kilas chasanim, a bridal canopy, a canopy that's put over a bridal bed, mutal a furka vil in toiso by Shabbos, you're allowed to take it down on Shabbos and put it up on Shabbos, and there's no issue here of creating an oihel. Omer of Sheshes, Breder of Idi, loy omron elosh ein begago tefach. All this is only true, or the canopy that you're allowed to put up is only true if you're not creating an oihel. An oihel is anything which is wide, a tefach, a covering of a tefach. So when are you allowed to put this bridal canopy on Shabbos? Only if there's no on the roof, that means on the horizontal part, on the top of this canopy, is not a tefach wide. If it's a tefach wide, then you're creating an oihel. You're not allowed to create an oihel on Shabbos. Aval yesh begagot tefach, if there's the width of a tefach flat on the top of this bed, also you're not allowed to spread a canopy over it. V'chein ein begagot tefach, even if there's no tefach wide at the point where the two upright posts, the posts in the middle of each width of the bed, there's two upright posts, and then there's a crossbar going between them, and they would drape the canopy over this post, over this horizontal bar, and then it would drape down to either side of the bed. So even if you don't have a tefach at the top, if the width between one side of the canopy and the next is a tefach wide, even anywhere within 3 tfochim from the top of the canopy, then it's also an issue. Because since it's less than 3 tfochim from the top, we say lavud, and then it's as if there's a tefach width at the top of the canopy, and that's called creating an oihel. Aval yesh bepochis mishloisha samuch legag, if within 3 tfochim from the top of this frame, tefach, you have the width of a tefach, also, then you're not allowed to drape over it the canopy. And even in the event that it's such a sharp angle that even within 3 tfochim from the top, you do not have a tefach, it doesn't reach a tefach wide, nami le omron, it's only muta elo she'ein b'shipua tefach. Only on condition that from the center where the canopy drapes to the right and to the left until the edge of the bed, which is the entire slope of this canopy, is not a tefach wide. Ein b'shipua tefach. Aval yesh b'shipua tefach. If you have a tefach from the center, from the top of this canopy down to the edge of either side of the bed, you have a tefach on either side, yesh b'shipua tefach, then shipua yoholim k'holim domi. The slope of a canopy is considered as if it's an oihel, because if it's sloping and it's covering a tefach of the bed, then the slope is as if it's an oihel, as if it's a cover on the tefach, and again you've made an oihel. Rashi says that it's very unlikely to have a bed which is less than 2 tfachim wide. Any bed that's 2 tfachim wide, this canopy is going to be covering, either side of the slope is going to be covering a tefach, it will be osa. And Rashi has an issue with that. What type of bed is just less than 2 tfachim wide? And Rashi explains that it's talking about where there's a number of shipuos. That means it's going up and down, up and down, up and down. And from any point, the slope at any point is never a tefach wide. But all these slopes together are covering the width of an entire bed. And that's what's muta here. Continues the Gemara. V'omer of Shisha Breder of Idi. Sainei, which is a felt hat, a wide hat. Shari, you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara of Otanya also, does it not say in the Brayse, you're not allowed to wear one of these felt hats on Shabbos? Loi kasha. Hod is beit tefach, hod les beit tefach. If there's a tefach in the brim of this hat, you're not allowed to wear it, because when you put it on, you're creating an oihel. a covering. If there's less than a tefach in the brim, then you can wear it. Asks the Gemara, is that using a garment, a hat, which happens to be a tefach wide, and it's not even positioned or fixed, it's just you put it on your head, is that considered making an oihel? Ela me'ato sharviv beglimei tefach. Are you telling me that if I want to just extend my cloak out, a tefach, hochanami da'osar, I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbos, it's considered that I'm making an oihel? Ela loy kasha, of course that's not the issue, and the way to explain this seeming contradiction, whether you can wear this hat or not, is nothing to do with making an oihel. This is not an issue of oihel. What is it? There's a risk of it blowing away, and then you're going to pick it up in Rosh Hashanah Rabim and carry it. So hardem mihadik, if it's firmly fixed on his head, you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Hardem loy mihadik, but a hat which is not firmly fixed, you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos in fear that you're going to carry it in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Continues the next Mishnah. And we're here talking, this Mishnah is going to talk about the doors of kelim, of utensils, and these doors were typically held with two hinges, an upper hinge and the lower hinge. The main weight of the door is held on the upper hinge. In the absence of the upper hinge, the door is going to fall away. So putting the upper hinge back is actually, so to speak, would be called boine, is like building the door. If the upper hinge is in place and just the lower hinges come away, then reinserting the pivot or the lower hinge is something which is not considered as boine as the top hinge. Let's see the Mishnah. Machzirin tzir hatachtoin b'mikdosh. If the lower hinge becomes detached, you're allowed to reinsert the pivot, you're allowed to reinsert the lower hinge from this door, but only in the Beis HaMikdosh, avaloi b'medina, but not outside the Beis HaMikdosh. V'ha'elyoin, however, the upper hinge, kan v'kan osur. Because the Tanakhama hold that yesh binyan bekelim, the concept of binyan of building applies not only to things that are attached to the ground, to buildings, but even to utensils. And therefore, if the upper hinge falls away, it's a melacha of boine. And the melacha of boine is osur in the Beis HaMikdosh as well as outside the Beis HaMikdosh. However, the lower hinge is not considered boine. It's just that we're afraid that you're going to fix the hinge very firmly, and that's called gezeira. We'll soon see that it's a gezeira shemo yitkai. He's going to fix it firmly, and fixing it firmly is a melacha of makeh bepatish, of giving the final blow, completing a utensil, completing a job. And therefore, and makeh bepatish is one of the lamed tes melachis. And since we're afraid that you might do it firmly, therefore we do not let you do it, we do not let you reposition and reinsert the hinge in any fashion. But since it's only osur midrabbanon, therefore it's only osur outside the Beis HaMikdosh. In the Beis HaMikdosh, it's mutter. That was the opinion of the Chachomim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda argues with the Chachomim, and he holds that there's no binyan bekelim, since we're talking about utensils, therefore there's no concept of boine. And therefore, ho'elyoin, even the upper hinge, b'mikdosh, as far as the Beis HaMikdosh, if it happens in the Beis HaMikdosh, you're allowed to reposition the hinge. V'tachtoin, and the lower hinge, since the only reason it would be asur is because Shema Itoka, he says b'medina, even outside the Beis HaMikdosh, is mutter, it's uncommon to fix a hinge by fixing it very, very firmly, and therefore there's no makeh bepatish, and therefore it's mutter even outside the Beis HaMikdosh. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, tzir, a lower hinge of a deles of a door, of either a shida, a carriage, a teva, and a crate, or migdal, or a closet, and these are utensils, but migdosh, in the Beis HaMikdosh, machzirin, you're allowed to put this lower hinge back. Or b'medina, machzirin, b'medina, however, outside the Beis HaMikdosh, you're not allowed to put the hinge back, as we saw in the Tanakhama in the Mishnah. However, if the hinge, if the pivot didn't get totally dislodged, it just got a little bit loose, doichakin, you're allowed to just, if it's partially come out, you're allowed to reposition it and put it back in. However, the upper hinge, kan v'kan lo yachzir, if it becomes totally dislodged, then the upper hinge, you're not allowed to relocate it, reposition it at all, reinsert that pivot at all, because it's boine. And the reason that the lower hinge, you're not allowed to put back b'medina, you're only allowed to doichakin, you can just push it back a little bit if it's come loose, but if it's become totally come away, you're not allowed to put it, you're not allowed to reinsert it. The reason is gzeiro shami yitoka, you may fix it very firmly, and if you do fix it very firmly, chayev chatos, you're going to have transgressed the melocha of makeh bepatish. And now, in contrast to the Mishnah we just discussed, which is talking about the doors of utensils, and according to the and we just saw now the halachas, in contrast to that, the hinge of a door shall boir from of a pit, v'shel dus, or a cistern, v'shel yetzia, a type of an extension, a type of an annex, then which is bekelim, which is not bekelim, which is proper binyan bekarka, lo yachzir, you're not allowed to return that hinge at all, v'im hirzir, and if you do, chayev chatos, because then you have a proper melocha of boine, and it's chayev on Shabbos. And since when it comes to boine, to building on ground, on not with kelim, not with utensils, when it's proper building, it's so much easier to be considered building, which is chayiv on Shabbos, and therefore it's also even to reposition even the lower hinge and even in the Beis HaMikdosh. When it comes to utensils, that's what we say, that's what we had in the Mishnah, Machlokes, and according to Tanakama, they say that binyan bekelim, but it's in order for it to be binyan bekelim, it's only if it's the upper hinge. Continues the next Mishnah. Marzirin rotiya b'mikdash avloy b'medina. A rotiya is a bandage, is a dressing on a wound. And if a kohen had a wound, and he's got a bandage, and if in order to do the melachos, in order to do the avoida in the Beis HaMikdosh, there was not allowed to be any chatzitza, anything separating the flesh of the kohen from the kelim that he was using, therefore you would have to remove the bandage. But the Chachomim knew that if we're not going to allow him to put the bandage back on Shabbos, he's not going to take it off and he's going to refrain from doing the Aveda. And therefore, one's allowed to put this bandage back, b'mikdosh, only in the Beis HaMikdosh, avolei b'medina. But you're not allowed to put it back outside the Beis HaMikdosh. If somebody's got a bandage on Shabbos and he's removed the bandage, he's not allowed to put this dressing back on. We'll see in the Gemara why, but he's not allowed to do it on Shabbos. V'im b'tchilo, however, to first put on a bandage, not having removed the bandage and he's just putting it back. If he's putting a bandage on in the first place, kan v'kan osur, he's not allowed to do that even in the Beis HaMikdosh. And we're talking about a type of a bandage, a type of a dressing that actually has a cream, a type of mishcha, a type of ointment on it. And to smooth out this cream or this mishcha that he's got on the bandage is actually a melocha, which could be a melocha of memareach. We'll see in the Gemara. And memareach, smoothing out, is something which is osur on Shabbos. So they only allowed it in the Beis HaMikdosh if it's tzayrach kavoya, in order to allow him to do the avoida. If he had the bandage on and he removed it in order to do the avoida, he can put it back. If he didn't have the bandage on, then it's clearly not putting it on to serve avoida, in order to be able to do avoida. It's clearly just a tzayrach hedyot, it's for his own personal benefit that he's now putting a bandage on, and that's going to be osur even in the Beis HaMikdosh. It's only allowed in the Beis HaMikdosh if it was on and he took it off in order to be able to do the avoida. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon. In the Mishnah we learned about somebody who takes off a bandage, are you allowed to put the bandage back on? And we said you're allowed to in the Beis HaMikdosh, but not outside the Beis HaMikdosh. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what happens if somebody didn't take off the bandage just fell off on its own. And this is something which is not so common, and therefore it could be that the Chachomim didn't make such a gzeira. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbonon, Retia shapirsho me'al gabe mako. If a bandage, the dressing, just fell off the wound, machzirin b'Shabbos, the Tanakamas say, you're allowed to put it back on Shabbos, and since it's something which is so uncommon, the Chachomim did not say it was osur. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says if it fell off completely, even if it fell off on its own, but completely came off, you're not allowed to put it back. If it slipped down, you're allowed to push it back up. If it slipped up, you can push it back down. If you want to clean the wound, then you reveal a little bit of the wound. Miktas harotia, you open up a little bit of the bandage and exposing part of the wound. Umekaneach piamako, and you clean the wound. The choizer megale miktas harotia, umekaneach piamako, and then you do the same on the other side. You move away the little bit of the bandage, revealing the wound, to clean it. Uratia atzmo lo yikaneach, but be very careful not to clean, not to smoothen the bandage itself. Mipnei shehu memareach, because smoothing the bandage itself, Rashi says, the Gemara says, "Mamareach v'mireach chayev chatos." If you smooth the bandage, you chayev chatos. Rashi says it's mishum memachik, which is smoothing. You're not allowed to smooth any material, any substance on Shabbos. Omer v'yuda mashmul halacha k'reb Yehuda. The halacha is like Reb Yehuda, who says that if the bandage came off completely, you're not allowed to put it back on Shabbos. Omer v'chizda lo yishonu. The whole machlekes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Huda. The Tanakama say that if it came off completely on Shabbos, if it fell off on Shabbos, you can put it back. And Rabbi Huda says you cannot put it back. It's only if it fell onto a kli, onto a utensil. Aval pirusha al gabe karko, if it fell off completely onto the floor, onto the ground, divrei hakel. Also, everybody agrees you're not allowed to put it back. It's considered as if you're putting a new bandage on for the first time, and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Omar Mar Bar Vashi. Mar, the master, or maybe his name was Mar, Mar, the son of Rav Ashi, Havo Ka'imnu Kamei Abba. He was standing, he was near his father, Rav Ashi. Noflole Abbe Sadio. And the bandage fell off onto the pillow. V'komahadurle, and Rav Ashi put the bandage back on. Aminale, so Mar Bar Vashi said to Rav Ashi, lo yisovar lo mar lo hod omer Rav Chizda, do you not hold of what we just saw now, that Rav Chizda said, machleikas shepirush al gabe kli avol pirush al gabe karka osur, that the whole machleikas between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda is when it fell onto a kli. And Rabbi Yehuda says that even if it fell onto a kli, you're not allowed to return it on Shabbos. And that's the halacha. We saw that the halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda. So how can you, Rav Ashi, put the bandage back? V'omashmuel halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Do you not know the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that even if it fell on the kli, you're not allowed to put it back? Omar li, Rav Ashi answered back to Mar Bar Rav Ashi, lo yishmiel li. I didn't hear of what Rav Chizda says. Kloimar lo yisvir li. I don't hold of what Rav Chizda says. It's true that Rav Chizda maintains the machlokes is if it fell on the kli, but if it fell on the floor, everybody agrees you're not allowed to put it back. But I, Rav Ashi, hold no. The whole machlokes is if it fell onto the ground. Then, according to the Chachomim, you're allowed to put it back. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to put it back. But if it fell on a utensil, it didn't fall on the ground, I, Rav Ashi, hold. Everybody agrees you can put it back. Even Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore I, Rav Ashi, put the bandage back on. Says the next Mishnah, Koishrin Nimo B'Migdosh. We know that in the Beis HaMigdosh, when they would bring the Nesochim, then the Levim, they would play on musical instruments, and one of them was a harp. A harp had strings, and strings sometimes snap. What happens if on Shabbos one of the strings of the harp snap? Says the Mishnah, Koishrin Nimo B'Migdosh. That you're allowed to even make a kesher, making a knot is an issa, it's one of the lamates melachas. But in the Beis HaMikdash, you are allowed to make a knot on the strings of the harp in the Beis HaMikdash. Avloi b'medina, obviously outside the Beis HaMikdash, you are not allowed to do that. V'im b'tchila, but if you have a new harp, which never had the strings, or it's not as if you were in the middle of using the harp and it snapped, in that case, kan v'kan osur, since you could have repaired the harp from before Shabbos, then it's osur to repair it, to make a knot, even in the Beis HaMikdosh. Asks the Gemara Uraminhu, what we saw in the Mishnah seems to contradict the Braisa. We learnt in the Braisa, nimas kinur, if a string of the harp, shenifsuko, it snapped, lo yhoyo koishro, they would not make a kesher, they would not make a knot, elo oinvo, they would make a bow. And then that way they would somehow be able to continue using the harp. But to make a knot, you're not allowed to do that, even in the Beis HaMikdosh. It seems to be a contradiction. Do you make a knot, as it says in our Mishnah, or just a bow, as it says in the Braisa? Says the Gemara, Lo Ikashya, it's not a question. And the Gemara is going to have four different explanations why, how to answer this. The first one is, Hora Bonon, Hora Beliezer. We know that Rabbi Eliezer holds that machshirei mitzvah are doicha Shabbos like the mitzvah itself. If you have a mitzvah, for example, bringing a korban involves doing a number of melachos that otherwise would be osur on Shabbos. In shechita, for example, you're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos, but you can bring a korban. So the machshirei mitzvah, the things that you need in order to serve the mitzvah, to help the mitzvah, are also doicha Shabbos. So in the same way as you can bring the korban, you can also transgress a melacha in order to be allowed to use the musical instruments that were going to accompany the nesachim. But that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbanon say that machshirei mitzvah are not doicha Shabbos. Since machshirei mitzvah are not doicha Shabbos, you're not allowed to make a knot, which is a melacha on Shabbos. And that's what the Gemara says. Le Rabbi Eliezer do amar machshirei mitzvah doicha nesa Shabbos. Koishra kunt Rabbi Eliezer, that even the machshirei mitzvah, the things that are not the main part of the mitzvah, they're just serving the mitzvah, are also override Shabbos. If the mitzvah does, you can make a proper knot. L'rabbonon d'omri ein doichin, according to the Chachomim, who argue the Rebbe Eliezer and say machshirei mitzvah are not doicha Shabbos, then you're not allowed to make a knot. But oinvo, you can make a bow, which according to this explanation in the Gemara, making a bow is not considered a melocha min ha-Torah, and the Beis HaMikdash, it was mutter. Asks the Gemara, I Rebbe Eliezer, if you're explaining our Mishnah that you can make a knot is following the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, who says machshirei mitzvah doicha Shabbos, afilu lekatchila nami, it seems to be from here that koishrin nima, but avol betchila kan vekan osur. It seems from the Mishnah that only if it's snapped, then you're allowed to tie it. But lekatchila, if it was never tied, and you're now for the first time tying it, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. If the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that machshirei mitzvah are doicha Shabbos, why can you not prepare the harp in the first place on Shabbos? Elo, the Gemara says, I have a different explanation to answer the contradiction. Loikash yahor Reb Yehuda, horabonon. It's a different machleikas. There's a machleikas whether, and we saw this on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph already, that according to Reb Yehuda, making a bow is also considered a kesher. It's considered making a knot. It's a melacha, like making a regular knot. It's only according to the Rabbanon that making a bow is not considered a knot, and it's not a melacha. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no difference between making a bow and making a knot. So you can make a knot, that's what the Mishnah says. You can make a kesher. According to the Chachomim, who argue the Rabbi Yehuda and say that making a bow is only midrabbanon, they're going to say, that's the Braiso who says, don't make a knot if you can make a bow. So asks the Gemara, but let's try and understand this. Rabbi Yehuda, this that you're saying, the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that there's no difference between making a bow and making a knot, and therefore we allow him to make a knot, but even making a knot, are you allowed to make a knot? It's not the main part of the mitzvah of the korban, it's just an accompaniment of the mitzvah. It's hechsher mitzvah. Alibud man, who is Rabbi Yehuda following? I alibud Rabbi Eliezer ko'omar, it must be he's following Rabbi Eliezer, who says machshirei mitzvah doicha Shabbos, because according to the Chachomim, you cannot do a knot or a bow, if you hold that a bow is an av melacha. So it's according to Rabbi Eliezer, then the same question comes back that we asked before. If the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, afilu lekatchila nami, then why do you say that you can only fix the string if it snapped? Why can you not do it in the first place? So what does it help that you said that the Mishnah is not Rabbi Eliezer, it's Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda also has to resort back to Rabbi Eliezer? And this, the question comes back, why can you not do it in the first place? Elo, the Gemara is giving a third suggestion. Loi kasha, horab shimon, horabonon. The Mishnah and the Brais are arguing whether the ruling is like Rab Shimon or like the Rabbonon. The Tani we learnt in the Braisa. Ben Levi, Levi shenifseko loy nimo. And this term, shenifseko loy nimo, means that it snapped. We're not talking about doing something in the first place. We're talking about that it happened, he was using his harp, or whatever the case was, it snapped on Shabbos. Bekino, that means that one of the strings of his harp snapped. Koishra, the Tanakama say you're allowed to make a knot. Rab Shimon oimer oinvo. Rab Shimon says explicitly, you're not allowed to make a knot, you're only allowed to make a bow. Rab Shimon ben Elazar oimer, af hi einoi mishmah ses hakoil, he says that making a knot or making a bow, you cannot use the harp. The harp will not give the sound it's supposed to make. Elo, what you have to do is Mishalshel milamato v'kerich milamaylo, or mishalshel milamaylo v'kerich milamato. These harps typically had pegs at the top and the bottom, and they had some of the string wound round a peg at the top and the bottom, and they could actually unwind, either unwind from the bottom, lifting up some thread and tie it to the top, or unwind it from the top and tie it to the bottom. According to Abshim ben Elozo, you actually have to unwind the thread and re-thread this harp to be able to use it in a way that has the sound it's supposed to have. And the way we have to understand these opinions are as follows. The Tanakhama, who say that Ben Levi Shanifsekoloi Nimo Bekinoir Koishra, this Tanakhama certainly holds like Rabbi Eliezer, that you're allowed to make a knot, Machshir Mitzvah, Doicha Shabbos. And it says explicitly that it's only Shanifsekoloi Nimo, it's only B'dieved. Till now, we've been discussing Rabbi Eliezer, either in the first explanation of the Gemara that the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, or the second explanation that it's Rabbi Yehuda who has to rely on Rabbi Eliezer. But Rabbi Eliezer himself, who say Machshir Mitzvah Doicha Shabbos, we never had any reason to believe that you cannot do it in the first place. You cannot do it Lekatchila, even if you could have done it otherwise. Here we have explicitly in the Braisa that this Tanakhama hold that it's only Shenifsekoi Leinimo, it's only B'dieved, it's only if the string snapped, then Koishra. So it follows Rabbi Eliezer that says Machshir Mitzvah Doicha Shabbos, but only B'dieved, not Lekatchila. And that can be our Mishnah, that our Mishnah says Koishrin, but not to do it in the first place. Reb Shimon says that Oinvo, and Reb Shimon presumably holds that making a bow is not considered an Av Melocha, and therefore to make a bow. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says that I've got no choice. Making a knot or making a bow is not going to serve the purpose as well. And even though unwinding the thread and repositioning and re-threading the harp is also an Av Melocha, no different to making a knot. It's the Av Melocha of Makeh Bepatish, of Tikkun Moneh, of fixing a kli. And therefore, it's also an Av Melocha. And he says that you have to have this harp. He's obviously following Rabbi Eliezer that Machshir Mitzvah are Doicha Shabbos. He says if in any case you have to do a Melocha, then you may as well do the Melocha of Shilshul, at least it will serve the purpose and create the sound that we want. So what we've gained in this third explanation in the Gemara is that we have an explicit opinion that even though Koishra, you're allowed to make a knot, which is an Av Melocha, but only if it's B'dieved. And that's the opinion you see in our Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. V'iboy seima, a fourth explanation. Ha v'ha rabbonon. V'loi kashya, kan be'emta, kan min hatzad. Says that it could be that both brises follow the opinion of the Tanakhama that we just saw now. We just saw now in this brisa that Ben Levi shenifsekoloi nimo bekinoir koishra, you're allowed to make a knot. So that our Mishnah is following that Tana. The second brisa that we saw on Amud Beis, Kuf Beis Amud Beis, that says you only make a bow, it doesn't have to be at Reb Shimon. It could even be according to the Rabbonon. However, when the Rabbonon say you make a knot, when do you have to make a knot? That's if it snaps in the middle. And there, to make a bow in the middle, you cannot use a harp that way. So you can make a knot. However, when it snaps at the bottom, minatzad, which is it snaps either at the top, at the bottom, or one of the sides, then you do not need to make a knot. It suffices just to make a bow. V'iboy seima, this is a fifth explanation. Ha'vaha be'emta, it could be that the Mishnah and the Brais are referring to that it snaps in the middle of the harp. Marasovar grozinon, or marasovar lo'i grozinon. It could be not like we said in the fourth explanation, that the Mishnah is talking about that it snapped in the middle, therefore you make a knot, and the Brais is talking about that it snapped at the ends, and therefore it's enough to make a bow. No, they're both talking about it snapped in the middle. And the Machlekas is, with what we saw before, Machlekas, the Tanakhama, and the Reb Shimon. That means everybody agrees that since it snapped in the middle, you should be allowed to make a proper knot. However, Reb Shimon maintained that even if it snapped in the middle and you should be able to make a knot, we make a gezeira, and this is an interesting, it's a unique case where there's a gezeira, even in the Beis Hamikdash, that we're afraid that since if we allow him to make a knot when it snaps in the middle, he may make a knot even when it snaps at the end, and if it snaps at the end, he doesn't need a knot, and it will be severely osa to make the knot. And therefore, in order to prevent such a case, Reb Shimon holds that oinvo, even if it snaps in the middle, you only make a bow, not a knot. And that's the Braisa. The Braisa says that oimvo, that you make a bow, it's not talking about it snapped at the ends. It could be, it's talking about it snapped in the middle. And it's the opinion of Reb Shimon who says that even in the middle, don't make a knot, because you're taking a risk that somebody will end up making a knot at the end when he doesn't have to, only make a bow. And the Mishnah that says Koshrin is talking about the Rabbanon. They didn't make such a gzeira. They said if it snaps in the middle, you can make a knot. And the Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.